To start out this podcast, let me first tell you about myself. My name is Rose Hazard. I am a first-year student at the Sacramento State University of California, and I'm 18 years old. My major is government/political science, and I have a passion for education and the involvement in making a difference in our community. Now, if you are listening to this, you probably share a similar interest in the topic that I'm going to discuss about the presidency and the constitutional way of electing our president. If this topic does not fully grab your interest, let me first tell you that it should, and it directly involves you. Whether this discussion poses an issue or provides a solution is up to you, the audience listening. I am here to educate you on the topic at hand and provide you unbiased information that may help you come to a confident conclusion on how to proceed with this information. Now, let us begin to get into the topic of discussion today. Today I will be talking about the presidency and whether the constitutional way of electing a president through electors is out of date, should be improved, or is just fine the way it is. To answer this question, you need to first understand the background behind the presidency and where it all began. As directly stated in the United States Constitution and in the Marone and Kirsch government textbook, it explains that the electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for two persons, of whom one at least shall not lie an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. And they shall make a list of all the persons voted for and of the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the President of the Senate. The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes shall be the President. If such a number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if there be more than one who have such majority and have an equal number of votes, then the House of Representatives shall immediately choose by ballot one of them for president. And if no person have a majority, then from the highest five on the list, the said House shall in like manner choose the president. But in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by the states, the representation from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from 2/3 of the states, and a majority of all the states shall be necessary to a choice. Now, saying all this, I may have lost you, because that was a lot of information to obtain. But to summarize it, the Constitution basically explains that each state shall appoint a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state shall be entitled to in the Congress. But no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. However, a common mistake made is that the Constitution requires an electoral college, but nowhere in the Constitution does it directly state we must have an electoral college. It just states that there needs to be electors equal to the proportion of the number of senators to that state. Another thought to consider is that just because the Constitution declares something does not mean it cannot be amended or updated to fit in with this time period. As researched in a systematic review titled "Does Civic Education for Young People Increase Political Participation?", authored by Nathan Manning and Kathy Edwards, they explain that many young people are unaware or do not fully understand the full dynamic of the political realm, let alone know the full outline of the presidency. To find out if this research was more accurate, I conducted a randomly selected online survey to find out more information. In the survey, I asked three questions, the first being, who elects the president? And my results came to find that 82.4% of respondents believe that the Electoral College does, and 17.6% believe that the people do. Given this data, it shows that although most understand that electors elect the president, there is still some confusion about who really does. Moving on into the second question I asked, do you know what the Electoral College is? The results were the same. It revealed that 82.4% do and 17.6% do not. Now, the purpose of this question, you might ask, was to try and figure out if the common man understands the basics of the presidency, which for the most part, they do. Now, the last question revealed a much more split response. When asked who should elect the president, the results were split between the people, the Electoral College, and that there should be a balance. These results revealed that when it comes to giving people the power of making decisions, it can take much longer to come to a compromise or to one response. Now, to get even more one-on-one research regarding this topic, I interviewed Sac State students to get their feedback on a few questions, and these were the results.
So I'm a first year. My major is social work, and my name is Jackie Gomez.
Okay, so hi, Jackie. Thank you for talking to me today. First question, do you know what the Electoral College is?
I do.
Can you explain what it is?
So the Electoral College is when our representatives elect, our future representatives, and the majority ends up getting the entire electoral vote for the state. So usually it's just the majority, and each state has a different amount of electoral votes based off the population.
Okay, next question. Can you explain a direct popular vote?
So a direct popular vote would be let's say the president, it would be how we elect, and that would be the entire election process. There would be no combination of electoral vote and direct popular vote, which is what we do right now. It would just be that.
Okay. Third question, how do you think the current presidential election process should be amended, or do you think it should stay the same?
Personally, I think that it has its flaws, but so does every system. And I would feel as though making a direct population vote is too risky, because people are constantly changing their mind and their viewpoints. So we can't rely on a population and the country's viewpoints are shifting constantly, and so say one person is against it, that they're gonna decide for the whole country. I just feel you elected your representative for a reason, so you should believe what they say, especially since they have more experience in politics and what may be best for you.
Okay, next question, do you feel that equal or proportionate representation is more important?
For what?
For elections.
Do I think equal or
Yeah, so in regards to an example of equal would be the Senate, how every state gets two senators, and proportion would be the House, how it's based on population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, I think proportional, because more people are in one area, so it makes sense that they would have a bigger vote or more vote, or how we do it now where we have both is smart, but at the same time in the Senate where we have equal representation, nothing really gets done, versus in the House there's people constantly changing, and so nothing still gets done, but at least there's new people coming in consistently, versus the Senate where it's always just the same people.
Okay. Do you feel you have a voice in the current political climate? Do you feel if your voice matters?
Not really. I don't. I feel definitely everyone should vote. I'm a hypocrite. I didn't vote this year, right now. But I think everyone should vote. And I think yeah, you have a voice, but your voice isn't anything if you don't put work into it, and you get others to try to understand your side and your point of view. So yeah, you have a voice, but it just depends what you do with it.
Okay, last question. How do you feel about representation? Do you feel it is accurate to what you desire as a voter?
Do you feel like your representatives represent you well?
No.
No?
I feel like it's a political game always, and there's a lot of things flawed with the system, so it's like there's not just one solution on how to fix this issue, but, you know, there's... You know, everyone can try to be better, and you can always make a better informed decision on who your representative is, so you can hopefully, like, not get him too wound up in the political game, but it's hard, like, we're messed up.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Hello, I'm Haley Burke. I'm an environmental studies major, and I'm a first-year freshman at Sac State.
Hi, Haley. Thank you for interviewing with me today. Okay, so first question. Do you know what the Electoral College is?
Isn't that, like, a group of people that represent the states that vote for the president and vice president?
Yes, correct. Next question. Can you explain a direct popular vote?
The popular vote is, like, the citizens voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's, like, the citizens voting for the president and... It doesn't really go into the Electoral College. It's just everybody's votes added up.
Mm-hmm. Third question. How do you think the current presidential election process should be amended or not amended?
Honestly, I don't really pay attention to it, if I'm being completely honest. I know that a lot of people aren't really happy with the Electoral College because they feel it's not representative of what the people want. So I think that maybe if we could... try to blend the two more instead of just like taking the Electoral College so literally, that would be a good way to amend it.
Okay, next question. Do you feel that equal or proportionate representation is more important? For example, like the Senate is equal and the House is proportionate, if you were confused.
Okay. I like the Senate. As opposed to, like, the House, because I feel like they get more done, so I feel like equal representation is better, but I don't really think about it that much.
Okay, next question. Do you feel like you have a voice in the current political climate? Do you feel if your voice matters?
I think with this past election, yes, I did have a voice. But that was because I think so many people were encouraging college students to vote and everybody to vote, and you could really see how much it mattered in some races where people won by like one vote, and I think that's pretty cool that every vote counts like that.
Mm-hmm. And as a voter, how do you feel about your representation? Do you think it accurately represents what you want?
Well, I have a very, like, particular political view, so I don't think anybody's gonna represent me very well, as opposed to, like, myself. But I think when you're elected, you have to try to do what's best for the people, and then once you get elected, you're just like, yeah, I'll do what's best for the people I represent. But then again, they have their own agendas that they need to push. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Peyton Morse. I'm a first year at Sacramento State University, and I'm majoring in kinesiology.
Hi, Peyton. Okay, so to start this interview off, the first question is, do you know what the Electoral College is?
No, I just learned it in civics, but I kind of forgot it. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I know it's a group of people that make decisions based off of more popular votes.
Okay. Second question, can you explain what a direct popular vote is?
A direct popular vote, when the population has a majority, that majority rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay, third question. How do you think the current presidential election process should be amended or not amended?
Personally, I don't have the right facts and I don't know enough of it, but right now it seems okay to me.
Moving on to the next question.
Do you feel that equal or proportionate representation is more important?
I feel like equal representation is more important. In today's world, not a lot of people have the same value of a voice. More people that are in higher power seem to have more of a voice, so equaling it out would be better for me.
Okay. Also, do you feel like you have a voice in the current political climate?
No, I don't, because I feel like no matter what, you're going to get hate. And so in today's political climate, I feel like if you decide one thing, you're just going to get hate. And I feel like that deters a lot of people. This year, I just wasn't educated, so I didn't use my voice, and I'm okay with that.
And last question, how do you feel about your representation and the people who represent you in elections?
The people that represent me in elections, I don't really know who those people are. I didn't participate in this year's vote, so I couldn't really have an opinion on that.
Okay, thank you. Now, after reviewing these interviews, I came to the conclusion that if someone does understand the presidency and the Electoral College, or whether they don't, their responses were still different for every question, whether it was just a yes or no question or a question that required a more explanatory response, they were still different. Now, as an audience, you can come to your own conclusion of what this reveals, but as a researcher, I revealed that in reality, having your voice and opinions heard matters because it reveals what the people actually want. But when making decisions, there's never one right response to any question. If the people are asked a question regarding knowledge or understanding a concept, it is a much more straightforward response. But when approaching questions that require an opinion-based response that requires background knowledge, it can be very difficult to come to one concise decision. This research can relate to how in government, the Senate can be considered an undemocratic institution that doesn't provide a fair process of appointing officials and can be compared to a more democratic process like in the House, which is based on population. However, knowing this, in some ways, research has shown that when everyone is given a voice, like in the House, to make a decision, there can be a lot of problems in regards to being educated on the topics of discussion and coming to a clear and concise compromise. In another study titled The Electoral College and the Development of American Democracy, authored by Gary Glenn, he explains how even when a candidate does not receive a popular vote, there is still the possibility of them being elected president, and vice versa. In this study, Glenn specifically provides an example of when Al Gore lost the presidency, even though he won the popular vote. Glenn explains how stating that Al Gore got more votes is not an accurate description of how to win the presidency. He uses an analogy to explain the presidency that states, "The winner of the World Series must win 4 games out of 7, not score the most total home runs in the 7 games. His main argument and research reveals that maintaining the current Electoral College system is a violation of one person, one vote, and allows candidates to win or lose not based on what the majority want. However, as identified in my previous surveys and interviews, the controversy of the Electoral College is not as one-sided as Gary Glenn identifies it to be. Not everyone, not even the majority, does desire to get rid of the Electoral College and replace it with a popular majority. This revelation allowed me to realize that the reason for the election process for the presidency never changing is because of the lack of the desire to. If there is no majority decision on what to amend and change, then the process is going to remain the same for a long time. In a study researched by Ryan L. Klassen, David B. Magelby, J. Quinn Monson, and Kelly D. Patterson in the month of May 2012, they followed the trends of voter confidence. In a study researched by Ryan L. Klassen, David B. Magovai, J. Quinn Monson, and Kelly D. Patterson in the month of May 2012, they followed the trends of voter confidence and the effects it had on elections. One of the specific areas they focused in on was the 2004 election in Ohio, a battleground state, because they wanted to figure out what to find who would result in being the winner. They studied polling places, venues, the different machines used to track votes, and observed the trends in specific ethnic groups. Their results revealed that there is a direct relationship between voter confidence and which candidate will win an election. If voters in specific groups feel that they are not benefiting or being helped in any way, or the candidates representing them are not aligned with their views, they will just remove themselves from the vote. Voter confidence is key for a successful and fair election. Without it, elected candidates are not representative to what the majority of people want and desire for their community. This research study revealed that a major issue with increasing fair representation is getting people to actually care about voting and giving them a reason to. To close off this discussion, I hope you gained some new knowledge in regards to the presidency, the Electoral College, and our hopefully now thinking about how you understand the way our government works and makes you feel like being involved is more important than you realize. Your voice really does matter to make a difference, and any kind of change in our political system is up to you. Whether it be to maintain our current election system or amending it, it is important for you to put your views out into the world because it does make a difference. You can make a difference if you speak up.